welcome back to the Six Out Culture Podcast. I'm joined by Danny and Franchette. And yeah, Franchette, you're back. How's it going? You good?
And it's going good, you know. We've been on a winning streak, so yeah, I'm happy now. So,
and Dan, how about you? How are you feeling? You good?
Yeah, no, it's mixed emotions this weekend. I suffered a defeat in football with the Cowboys, but at least Snoppy won, so kind of made up for it, but not as much. So I'm just now focus on Napoli more, and hopefully we can just continue the winning form.
Not in the Coppa Italia, though.
Coppa Italia, I think
that's of course.
That led up there.
Of course, you bring it up. Yeah, we had a great weekend of football, some entertaining matches, maybe one of the most entertaining 0-0 matches we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Obviously in Atalanta-Inter, which we'll get into later on. We also have a plan for maybe a second episode this week. It's not set in stone, but it's looking likely. We can have a guest on, probably going to come out this upcoming Friday. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully we get that over the line. And yeah, I guess we'll get into the weekend. We had some great matches. I guess we can start off with Franchette. It's only right since he's been off the last couple of pods. He's finally back. Franchette, Juve, Udinese, the people want to hear your opinion. Take it away.
Well, Lance, first of all, there's a couple of takes on this game. I think we played good. I think we could have played a lot better. Obviously, without Chiesa, we're really seeing the impact he has on the team. And the attack just hasn't been flowing the same. Dybala scored a beautiful goal, but then, you know, his ego got in the way and, he started looking directly at Nedved. Obviously Agnelli wasn't at this game, so he was looking directly at Nedved, who was the only person in the crowd, in that direction. Instead of celebrating just because of this whole contract debacle he's been dealing with. And then, you know, Dybala in the press conference said he was looking for a friend. Which is bullshit. I feel like if he's going to do something like that, he needs to be honest with the press and the fans on what he's doing and why he's doing it. Because everybody knows why he's doing it. He just, you know, he wants to kind of blame Nedved and Agnelli for the contract situation, which is completely his fault. But that's another conversation for another day. McKennie, this guy, you know, he keeps improving week in and week out. I'm really looking forward to seeing his performances grow and grow. It feels like he can't stop scoring and he can't stop helping the team, which is great, which is what we need, especially with this midfield problem. Moise Keane, I hope we send this guy back to Everton. He's not a Juventus quality player. I don't care how young he is. I don't care. He's Italian. He's shit. When Morata came on, he helped out a lot. He helped build up play a lot, but even Morata, you know, he has his ups and downs, but overall, I would say it was the worst 2-0 I've seen for Juventus. I feel like we dominated the game, but at the same time, we didn't have a lot of chances to really say we deserved a 2-0 win. But I have to give a lot of credit to Daniele Rugani, who for the past couple of weeks has been stepping up when we needed him, with Chiellini and Bonucci out and De Ligt suspended for certain games. Rugani's really been stepping up and making some big plays and big tackles and even getting on the score sheets, which we'll talk about later on. But for me, he's probably been the player in the best form for Juventus currently.
Yeah, no, well said. I think, back to the McKennie point you made, how he's been really good recently. I think the thing with McKennie that he brings to Juve that they've been missing is someone with a great work rate. I think he's good to have in midfield. And he's very intelligent when it comes to reading where the ball is going to end up in the box. He makes those kind of like late runs into the box where a defender doesn't really necessarily see him when the cross is being made. But then he runs from the edge of the box into the box, like last second, and gets his head to it all the time. You can clearly see he has a knack for the ball, and he's very talented when it comes to, you know, just really being efficient when it comes to heading the ball. You know, I think it's a very hard skill to learn in culture. Like, Gustavo Pazzini was great at that. But just to head the ball, like, maybe just me, I'm a Roma fan. So I see Dzeko, who not very good at his head, even though he's very tall. But McKennie seems to be really good at placing it and getting onto them. So, yeah, credit to him. And he's been a big boost for Juve's midfield. Obviously, they don't have that go-to goal scorer. I guess you can say Dybala has been pretty consistent as of late. Well, he's usually pretty good when he's in, at least, and when he's not hurt. But you don't really have Ronaldo scoring like 2 goals a game almost for Juventus anymore. So you kind of need to find goals from other players and like kind of have like more of a a group effort rather than like that one guy who like scores close to 30 goals every year. And I think McKennie's been a big boost for Juve in that way. And yeah, he's looked really good for them. So I know for sure I'll be excited to see him on the 30th here in Hamilton for the Canada-US game. So
Hopefully I get a chance to meet him and talk to him for a couple of minutes about Juve and the situation at large. But
yeah, if for sure I get to meet McKennie, we'll definitely have content on that. But we'll see. It's a stretch, but hopefully. Dan, you have any thoughts on the Juve Udinese game?
Yeah, no, it was a big win for Juve, as they seem like they're coming into form. It's going to be tough now without Chiesa, but they need guys like Dybala to step up. Like you said, Anthony McKinney to step up. Kulusevski, Morata, all these guys to step up. And going back to Finch's point on Lugani, and we're not big fans of him, but I'll give him a little bit of credit. He has been playing a lot better than what we're used to seeing, especially now that Juve need to rely on him and so other guys step up with the likes of Chiellini out, De Ligt is suspended. So they need to step up. These guys are whoever's playing center back. It could be Ping Sorio. He can be playing center back. They need these guys to step up. But it was a well-performed match from Juve. They got a big win at home, especially against the Udinese side, who in the past have given them a lot of problems. And on the last podcast, and me and you said that these guys will go down with a fight. And I said I wouldn't be surprised if an upset happens. But Juve made sure that didn't happen. And it seems like they're somewhat getting back into the form that we're used to seeing them.
Yeah, and I think that's usually the case with Juventus, to be honest. They have a rough start, and they always bounce back. You know, when a team's won for so long, they know how to get back in, you know, a good run of form, and they've done that. Obviously, if you look at the stretch of games, they haven't had the toughest of games out of maybe Roma and Napoli, which they won, so credit to them. And they seem to be getting healthier now with Dybala coming back, and he's been playing a couple games now in a row where he's been staying healthy and hasn't been getting really hurt. And if they can have Dybala healthy for all these games, then, you know, they can get back into that race, and maybe the Scudetto the stretch. I know Richel disagree with that, but top four is definitely something that I can see them finishing, and I really don't see them finishing outside the top four. And, yeah, credit to Juventus. We also had Barak, who, wow, this.
That was Barak, amazing.
It almost feels like he's been in the Serie A for, 40 years. Like, you always hear his name, and he's one of those players where if you support, like, a Roma, Napoli, Juve, Inter, Milan, like, a team like that, and you're playing Verona, he's always that annoying midfielder where you're just like,
He always scores.
Yeah.
I think last year too.
Like you want to? Yeah,
sure he got like yeah, I got two goals or a goal and assist. Like he went crazy against us, and he's a good player. I think he's personally, like in personal opinions, I think he's one of the most underrated midfielders in Italy. This guy, he puts up very good numbers. Currently on the season, he's got 18 goals. Oh, sorry, 18 games.
I'm about to say, goals. Wow! I didn't realize that.
I was actually like, what the hell?
He could have 18 goals. That's how good he is. Like, he could be on par for close to 18 goals. Like, he's got 8 goals, 4 assists, 12 goal contributions, and 18 matches for a Verona side who really don't have the best of players, but they have a good core of players. And even last year, too, he had 7 goals. And the year prior in 2017, well, a few years prior in 2017 to 2018 season, he had 7 goals, but in the last few years he's declined. But then once he joined Verona, it seems like he's been finding his form again. And this guy, I wouldn't be surprised in the summer if a lot of teams, especially in the top 6, need that midfielder that can help boost their chances of maybe a Scudetto, Champions League, say. I wouldn't be surprised if in the summer he makes a big move. He's such an underrated midfielder, and I think any team can benefit by signing him.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And he's only 27, which, you know, is a good age. I know people, you know, everyone's excited for those young players, 21, 22-year-olds. But, you know, you do need some experience in your team, like Roma did with Sergio Oliveira. And, you know, if you're like a fringe team that needs some depth, you're maybe like a Fiorentina, Roma, maybe even a Napoli, like off the bench, like someone like Barak to come in. Or, you know, you can't play the same lineup every game. So these top teams do need players like this who you can rely on when someone's injured or need to rest someone. And yeah, Barak is a really good player. And I think you can easily slot into a team like Fiorentina. Like, I think it'd be a perfect fit for Fiorentina. I think they've been looking really good. Well, I don't think. I know they've been looking good, and we'll get into that later on as well. And if you add Barak to an already solid team with Italiano as a coach, yeah, it can look really scary. So, yeah, he's been good. He had a hat-trick, which is always impressive when a midfielder especially gets a hat-trick. So, yeah, credit to him. And that chip goal, I believe, was for his third one, was an incredible
Yeah, it was a beautiful goal.
Yeah,
credit to him.
I've said it, too, a few times in the past. Like, I think I would like Napoli to sign him, but now, like, for our midfield, I don't know if he would – I don't know who you take out. Like, our midfield – I'll get to this later on, but our midfield's been very well – playing really well this year. But Barak, any team ends, like you said, too, he would boost that midfield a lot, and I can see him. I wouldn't be surprised if a team like, say, Roma make a pitch for him, depending on what happens. Napoli, they can always make a pitch. They're always linked to guys like him. Juve, who knows? Like, he can really help a top six team if he decides to leave Verona.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I like his height as well, 6'2", to have someone that big in the midfield is always good and kind of rare because he's not like your typical 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", kind of guy. You know, those guys are usually like Bakayoko, for example, isn't the quickest of players on the ball. And Barak is pretty, you know, he's pretty agile. So to have someone that tall and that quick is always good to have. And he's an intelligent player as well. He's left-footed, which, you know, left-footed players in midfield don't really come around too often. And I think it adds a different dynamic to the game. So, yeah, I think it'd be good for a top team. And hopefully keeps it up. I really enjoy watching him when he's not playing Roma. And
I can say the same here.
Richard, what do you think about Barak? Do you want him on Juve or replace Locatelli? Maybe send him back to Sassuolo?
I think he's a great midfielder. I just don't think, obviously, Juve's midfield, you can't really complain who you bring in. But I think Juve's plans are a little bit different with Barak. I know we're interested in Sakaya. So, but obviously, Barak, like you were saying, Jens, I think a team like Napoli or Roma or even Fiorentina, I think it's a team for him. But I think at Verona, he's comfortable. I think he's been doing really good there. He seems to be on the coach's good side, which is good. So I feel like why leave a place for a new challenge when you're doing good at an already good team? I think we're downplaying Verona too much. Verona's, I would say, around the same level as Fiorentina. Fiorentina just have more potential, which is probably going to change if Vlahovic leaves because he's been a huge part for that Fiorentina success. So I think Barak should stay put at Verona for now and continue these great performances. Obviously, I'm not going to say he carried Verona because Verona play like a team, like they play a unit. So that's why they're always so hard to break down. But that hat-trick really helped them against Sassuolo. And if I honestly thought Verona was going to get more, obviously, just in the first half, they had two goals and one disallowed. So, I mean, they were attacking Sassuolo, and Sassuolo was kind of holding on for dear life. But Barak really helped them when Sassuolo were trying to crawl back and make a comeback, and he really helped them solidify that victory.
Yeah, and, well, I do have to disagree. I think Fiorentina is more deep than Verona. But I think Verona, defensively, they've always been a pretty gritty team and really annoying to play against. I just feel like going forward, yeah, attacking, there's only really three guys who really score for them. I think Simeone has 12, I believe. Capraldi must have like 7, 8 goals around there. And then there's Barak with 8 as well. So there's only really three guys. I think no one else has more than maybe, I don't think anyone else has more than 3 goals in the team.
Yeah.
Other than them
three. Capraldi has 7 goals, 5 assists.
Yeah. I'm looking here. So they only have, Kalinic has 3. So they have 4 guys with 3 goals or more. So yeah, it's not a very deep team, but at the same time, they are a tough team to play against. And I think Barak, if you were to leave, you'd have to really choose wisely and make sure it's a team where, you know, you're not going to get thrown onto the bench and never play a game. Or even if he is a rotation player, as long as he rotates often, it's not kind of like, I don't know, you play one game and then you don't play for the next month and then you just come off the bench the last 10 minutes. You can't have that. It's going to ruin him. But if he finds a home in Fiorentina, I feel like that's a team where he can start at and do well. So
yeah,
we'll see what he does. And yeah, credit to him. He's really been playing well this year, and even last year he did well. So, yeah, big ups to Barak.
Yep.
Atalanta Inter. That's a big talking point. Like, if you guys didn't get, if you didn't manage to catch that game and you saw the scoreline, you're like, wow, what a disappointment. Two teams would score quite a bit. 0-0. It was not like that at all. Handanovic and Musso were on some kind of substance, maybe some, I don't want to say which substance they're on, but they must have been on something, maybe Please some white powder or something. I don't know what they're on. These guys were, like, it turned to cats. Like, Handanovic was back in his prime all of a sudden. We know he's been getting a lot of stick this whole year, even last year a little bit. And, you know, he's an older keeper now. He's not the same keeper he once was, but still, like, I don't know what happened in this game. Handanovic and Musso were incredible. I think it was on Sanchez. Musso pulled off one of the best saves of the year, I think. At least.
Yeah.
Incredible. Probably. I thought that was a goal. And when I saw the replay, I'm like, did Sanchez miss? Because there's no way Musso managed to get that. And I saw the replay, I'm like, wow, he saved it. Like, what a, like, and we all know how good Musso is. I think he led the Serie A in clean sheets. Maybe not last year, the year before. Maybe it was last year. One of the two.
I think it was 14. Last year. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of last year. I believe he finished the 14 either last year or the year before. And, yeah, Musso, we all know how good he is. And Handanovic, we all know how good he used to be, but he really, he brought back the time and went back to his prime. So, the game was very enjoyable to watch.
Part of the best 0-0 draw we've witnessed in the last years, like many years. Like
it's been a while. And you got to give credit to Atalanta, too, because I feel like towards the end, Inter said, okay, you know what, we're not going to beat these guys. Let's just sit back and kind of just hang on here.
And Atalanta continued to push.
Yeah, Atalanta kept pushing, and Inter kind of threw in the white towel, and they said, okay, let's not get 0 points, at least get one, and we're away from home, so it's not going to be the end of the world. And, they sat back towards the end, and they survived. Atalanta and Inter put on a great game, great performance from both teams, really. I feel like Lautaro should have started, to be honest. I saw a lot of opportunities in Inter's attacks where I feel like Lautaro could have benefited, but also we need to remember that these guys just played 120 minutes. Like, we don't know how tired they are or who's hurt or who has, like, a slight knock. So, and to have Sanchez off the bench, like, I'm not going to, he's not a top player anymore. He's not what he used to be, let's be honest. But he's also, he's also above a bench player. Like, he's not a bench player kind of guy. Like, he'd start on some of these smaller teams. So to have him off the bench is a luxury. And he wasn't amazing by any means in this game. I thought I don't say underperformed, but, you know, he should have scored. But, he held his own, and Musso was incredible on that save. Yeah. What did you guys think about it overall?
No, you covered it well. It was just funny at the end of the game, too, that Napoli tweeted out directing both teams, Atalanta and Inter. The tweet was something along like, oh, we just would like to congratulate Atalanta and Inter for putting on a phenomenal match. Both teams showed class. And, like, it was just weird to see that because at the time, like, you can see it's like, I thought it was kind of sarcastic because of this result benefited Napoli as well, helped Napoli as well. But also, too, it could just be Napoli showing being class and just tweeting out, like, just an entertaining game because it was one of the best 0-0 games you could witness this year and maybe in the last 5 years or so. Both teams, you could tell, were going for it. Like, the goalies were... It's like playing FIFA on the hardest difficulty. Just making saves left, right, center. It was crazy. Credit to Atalanta, too, as well. Like, you could tell they really wanted to pick up the 3 points at the end. But Inter just held on, and it was just a phenomenal match between both sides. And this game, like, it was so entertaining. You kind of wish there was a goal at the end just to cap it all off. But you know what? 0-0. Suits both teams. It helped the teams below them and also the teams above them. So it was a very entertaining game. And as you covered it perfectly, just the goalies, like, they stole the show. And if they could give two man of the matches out, I think both goalies deserved it.
Yeah, no, Dan, 100%, man. These keepers were incredible. Anything else you want to add on to that?
Yeah, I know. First of all, I agree with you guys saying the keepers are incredible. We were forgetting a big aspect of the game. I feel like the defense was just as incredible, especially Di Mattel. Watching that guy,
That guy's hilarious, man. He's either Chiellini or he's Rugani one on the game. Like, he's so up and down.
His consistency is out of this world. And I think he's up perfectly. One game he was Chiellini, and against Inter he was Chiellini. I feel like he has a Juventino blood still in him from derbies, but you know, I'm glad he was on his game yesterday, because if he wasn't, I feel like Inter would have got a couple of goals in on Atalanta. But he was really on his game, and it's good to see him progress well. I was holding my breath near the end of the game that it ended in a tie. Obviously, like Danny said, it's good for the teams below them. Both teams tied, since they are both competing for the Scudetto, and they are pretty close to each other in points. So it was a good result to see, and hopefully, you know, after that Supercoppa victory, this is the demise of Inter, and they start getting fatigue, and they start dropping points. Same with the rest of the teams.
Yeah, I think, you know, all these teams are going to be tired now, so we're going to see some more rotation, which could lead to some more upsets, you know. Smaller teams like we saw Spezia and Milan, that was a pretty big upset. And, yeah, Inter looked very tired, but, you know, Atalanta, man, those guys, especially in Bergamo, when they're home, they are very tough to beat, and we saw that again.
Very tough.
And, yeah, just once again, like, round of applause to those goalkeepers. They were just absolutely incredible, and it was a joy to watch. So I really enjoyed that game. A game I didn't enjoy, though, was Roma-Cagliari. I know we won, so you guys listening are probably like, wow, like, they won, you're still complaining? If you watch the game, then you know, like, it should have been 5, even 6-0, like, no problems at all. I saw someone made a thread of, like, all the scoring opportunities we had. We had, like, 4-on-3s, 3-on-1s, 4-on-2s. Like, all these, like, it's like scenarios that you practice on a training ground. Like, whoever played soccer before, we all know, you know, a coach would get 2 defenders and then throw the ball over top to, I don't know, 4 attackers going towards them, and then you got to figure out the way to score and finish. And that's what it looked like. We kept practicing trying to score, and we couldn't. Like, decision-making was awful. Zaniolo almost scored an incredible goal where he just danced around 2 defenders, and even if his weak foot, if he finished that would have been all over Twitter and Instagram. Would have been an incredible goal. But we just couldn't finish. Gian, who, Felix, I can give him, you know, a pass, because the guy's turned 19 today, though, so happy birthday to him. And he's very young, and he hasn't played many professional games, so I can give him a pass. I thought he played really well, despite the decision-making at times. But, you know, that comes when you're young. You're not going to make the best decision all the time. But other than that, I thought Felix had a great game. Sergio Oliveira, who I wouldn't say stole the show. I'll get into who I thought was man of the match that game. But I thought, in a way, he did steal the show, because his debut, a team that's lacking a lot of experience and someone who doesn't panic under pressure. You know, if you want to be at Roma, just press us and we'll probably kick out of bounds or give you a breakaway or something. We always mess up. We're not going under the ball at all. And Oliveira brought a calming presence that we've been lacking all year. And Mourinho said, oh, I wish we had more Oliveiras on the field, because he's a player you see in the Champions League. You saw him knock out Juve. Sorry for Chad for bringing that up, but
it's okay.
We saw what he can do on a big stage. You know, Roma needed a player like that. We don't need someone like, you know, Pogba or some big name. We need someone who, you know, just experienced in Champions League, kind of like a grizzled veteran and someone that can lead the locker room. And I think that's what Oliveira brings. Also, a set piece taker. He can hit penalties, free kicks. I think he's like, I could be wrong, 17 for his last 19 penalties, which is a, you know, really good number to have. And, yeah, I was really impressed by him. He did well. And my man of the match, personally, Mourinho said the same thing. I said on my Twitter right after the game, I thought Kumbula was the best player on the pitch. He is someone who came in with a lot of hype. You know, I was with Beaufort, Chad, and Danny when we first announced it, and I ran out of importance. I was celebrating. You know, we all saw him at Verona. He's one of the best center backs in the league that year. And he came to Roma. It's hard to get playing time when you have Smalling, Mancini, Ibanez. You can only play so many center backs at once. And
yeah,
both have their strengths and weaknesses. And the Mancini-Smalling partnership was a big one for that year of Fonseca. It was one of the best center back duels in the league before Smalling got hurt that year. They're doing incredible. You can't really bench any of them. And he's still young, so usually when you're a younger player, you get less playing time, just normal, you know. Usually the older players get more playing time. And this year, he hasn't been playing much. Mourinho kind of called him out. And Mourinho said in his post-game interview, he said, hey, I've been kind of harsh to him, you know. I've been really hard on him, and he's humble. He responded well. He got to work, and I've seen big improvements in him. I thought he was the best on the pitch today. And that's a big compliment coming from Mourinho. You know, Kumbula is only 21 years old. And center backs, I know, Dan, you know the same of goalkeepers. Their prime is kind of later on. You know,
yeah,
to be a center back, it takes longer for your...
A lot of them, Yeah, a lot of them don't usually, like, develop until, like, they're, like, 26, 27, like,
yeah,
later
exactly.
into their careers.
Because it takes time for the body to really physically develop into, you know, a man's body and be that strong on the ball and protect the net. So, yeah, you got to be patient with center backs, and he clearly has the talent. He's very smart. He's not the center back like Demiral is going to wow you with his explosiveness and his tackling ability and all that. And he's also not going to be like a Manolas when, you know, when he used to be good. Track down these, like, quick strikers and, like, somehow track them down in time with his pace and tackle them. He's not going to do that either. He's going to be in the right place at the right time. He's going to intercept the ball, and he's not going to take any stupid risks. He's going to clear it, and he did a fantastic job. And I do prefer him in the back three. I think, you know, he played there with Juric at Fiorentina when Romani, Gunter, and Kumbula, that was the back three they had. I feel like he is more of a back three center back. I feel the same way about Romani. I think he's a good center back, but I think the best of Romani really is in the back three, and same with Kumbula. And, yeah, even though we played in the back four, he did well. And, yeah, credit to him. I really appreciate, you know, those players that kind of get left out of the team, and then when they come back, they're still humble. They're not whining and complaining like Lukaku. But you got to respect a player that that just plays for the team and doesn't complain. So, yeah, credit to Kumbula. And good result, but terrible performance. That's all I got to say about the game, similar to what Francesca said about Juve. Bologna-Napoli, then.
Yeah.
Big win against a tough team, in my opinion. I think Bologna's not easy at all. So.
No, it was a huge win, too, because coming off a tough stretch with the Coppa Italia, the poor defeat that we suffered to Fiorentina. And also, too, I didn't watch the game in English, but apparently the commentators on football said that Napoli haven't won a back-to-back weekend for Serie A. Sorry, let's just say Serie A back-to-back. Since November, like when we were on the good stretch. So now we are back to back, and it was a good win for us. I like the way we played. For me, Lozano, you can say, yeah, he was the man of the match. He got two good goals. The first one, beautiful ball in by Elmas. So he did a lot of good things. Elmas, I really like the way he's been playing. And the second goal was absolutely beautiful from Lozano. He kept his composure, took a nice touch, which is rare, because he's got the heaviest touch I've ever seen on the player. But he took a nice touch, nice cool finish. And for me, though, the man of the match, I want to give it to Fabian Ruiz. He was incredible this match. He set up that goal the second goal, but also too, he was just getting in the right positions. He took a beautiful strike from outside the box on his left foot and just hit the bar, or else you could be talking about the potential goal of the year. Like, it was such a beautiful shot, such good composure. He's been having a very good season, and as well as coming back, he seems to be getting into the form that he was before the COVID and before the Christmas break. As well, I just want to give a quick shout out to Zielinski. He was, for me, he was probably the second best player on the pitch. He was very good. He set up the second goal too. He put in a beautiful ball to Fabian Ruiz, who picked out Lozano. But for me, I just want to talk about the defense. Defensively, we've looked solid as of late as well. Besides, I'm not going to get into the 5-2, but in the league-wise, we've looked a lot solid. And Romani, for me, he's been one of the best center backs in the league this season. He's just been outstanding. He's been winning a lot of the tackles. He's been clearing the ball a lot. He's been getting into good positions to make the play, and he's just very smart with the ball. He doesn't rush anything. He doesn't put teammates under pressure. And also, too, I want to just talk about how good Jesus has been filling in the role of Koulibaly. It's a big role to fill, and I feel like Jesus has been he hasn't been playing like Koulibaly, but he's been filling in the role properly. And for me, I wasn't the biggest fan of Jesus heading into the season, signing him. I don't know why they signed him. I just don't think he's the best option for us. But for me now, he's the type of guy I want him back next season. If he can continue to play like this until Koulibaly comes back, he's been solid. Him and Romani have formed a very good partnership. They may not be the fastest setback pairings in the league, but they get the job done, and they're strong in the ball, and just everything was going right for us this game. Marek got the start because of Ospina's injury. And he's been getting a lot of stick lately on Twitter, just poor performances. But give him a little credit. He got the clean sheet this game, and he didn't have to do too much. But when he was called upon, he made the saves, and he was very he was very in control when the balls were going into the box and just claiming them. So he did a really good job. And for me, Loboka, where was this Loboka when he first joined? Holy cow, he looks like a completely different player. And I know me and you used to joke about him. You just said like he looked funny at times where he would come in. But this offseason, he looks like he lost a lot of weight. And he's just been very, very good. He can control the pitch perfectly. The only downside for him, he seems to like he passes back a lot. But he makes the smart plays a lot of times. He doesn't try to force anything. He doesn't do stupid passes where he tries to kick it up, but no one's running. He tends to just calm the play down, calm the tempo, and allow Fabio Ruiz to be that deep creator. So I just want to give, like, that was, for me, Loboka's, he's basically been a signing for us this season. It's a completely different player. He's filled in the role of Anguissa really well. Also, too, a big headline now, Osimhen's back. He almost scored. The first few minutes of the game, he came in. He looked a little, you could tell he was out. But then he had that one run where I believe it was Mertens played in that ball to him. And he took a beautiful touch. And he just missed the post by an inch. The one time I actually wanted him to hit the post and go in, it misses. But it looks like Osimhen could be coming back hopefully next game on the weekend. We might see him start, who knows. But if he can come in the bench and just produce like he did off the bench, I won't have any worries about him because he looked very good at times. But for me, this was a big win, especially because of the result that happened at the same time as this match was playing, and also Atalanta and Inter, you can say, dropping points. So this was a huge match for us, just if we want to continue to, quote-unquote, contend for the Scudetto and just to remain in the top four. So this is a win that I'm very happy about, and hopefully we can continue this win against the two matches that we have coming up.
Yeah, then. No, I thought Napoli looked really good. And, you know, Lozano even could have had a hat-trick. I was impressed by him. And obviously, yeah, off the pitch, we know how Napoli fans feel about him. But credit to him.
Yeah, no, the credit to him. Just, again, hopefully he can continue this because he's the type of guy he can score two goals this game. And then the next two games, he won't even register a shot. He'll be one of the worst players on the pitch. So hopefully he can use this as confidence and just get back into the form he was last season and just get the trust again from the Napoli fans, because I know there's a lot of Napoli fans who they're on the 50-50 with him. Like, it's not – like, there's a lot of fans that defend him. There's a lot of fans that want him gone because of also the performance and just those comments he made previously. But hopefully he can start scoring, help us win games, and just get the trust back from the Napoli fans.
Yeah, he's very hot and cold, I guess is the best way to describe him. Like you said, Dan, he can have a great game and a poor game. But, yeah, hopefully for Napoli's sake, he can really put it together. And, you know, if Insigne is leaving, Napoli's going to need another winger. And I'm not saying Lozano's going to be that guy. I'm sure Napoli is going to sign
hopefully
someone else.
Hopefully he's part of it. The answer, yeah. That's what you want if you're Lozano. Like, you want to be part of that team, be the guy that can help replace Insigne, which is going to be tough, but hopefully Lozano can be part of that.
Yeah, 100%. And we had more matches, obviously. We're going to get to Milan Spezia up next, but we also had the Coppa Italia during the week. We're going to break down the Coppa probably closer to maybe the next round, semis-ish, around there. We'll get more into it when it gets closer to who's actually going to win it, because we only have so much time here. But Milan Spezia, you know, we're going to get into that. But I know for Chet, wants to bring up a player he saw. He's a young player, Ake. You know, when Richard brought him up, I thought talking about the one on City, the center back. But it's a young player for Juve, Ake. He came in, he danced around a bit, won a free kick, won a pen. He's quick. He seems skillful on the ball. And I know Richard wanted to bring him up. So, Richard, what do you think about his debut?
And I think going into this game quickly, I was very pissed off at the lineup. I thought a lot more youngsters should have been given the go-ahead, considering we need these starters for the Milan game, which I would argue is a bigger game than the Sampdoria game. I thought our youth players could have handled this game well. It would have been great exposure for them, especially with the substitutions at time, with Chiellini coming on for Danilo, Dybala coming on for Kulusevski, and then Bentancur for Artur. But when Ake came on, Marley Ake, he's a very young player that we recently purchased and from France. And I wasn't expecting much from him, but when he came on, he reminded me of Douglas Costa. Just came on explosive, pace, skillful, started dribbling past the defense, and his first couple of touches, he was already in the box, and he drew a penalty, and I was just breathtaking. I was kind of a little pissed off when Dybala gave the ball to Morata to boost his confidence instead of Ake, who I think should have took the penalty, considering he won it. It would have really helped with his confidence, but nonetheless, Morata converted that penalty, and then the next time he had the ball, he won a free kick by the edge of the box. So it was incredible. It was an incredible debut to see, and I feel like without Chiesa, this guy could really be stepping up for the team. Hopefully, Allegri. I don't know if he was in the stands watching or if he was at home watching, because Landucci was coaching. You know, under Landucci, we're 2-0. I just want to point that out. But hopefully, Allegri was watching that and really considering his options. Without Chiesa, I don't think we could be handling with Bernardeschi and Kulusevski, just relying on them. I think this Ake guy has similar traits to Chiesa. He's very fast, explosive, good with the ball at his feet. So I feel like we could start incorporating him into more games and really getting him exposed to Juventus, since we are in desperate need of a winger. I think Ake is the man for the job until Chiesa comes back, or you know. Usman Dembele could really help us out too, but I don't think Cherubini and Arriva Bene have a brain for that just yet. But hopefully, you know, with Juventus' youth system, I think everyone knows we don't know how to develop players. We kind of see someone explode like Ake, like Fagioli, and then we kind of just sell them or bring them back to the under-23 team and let them rot there. So hopefully it's not the case for Ake, and hopefully we get to see him more in the future. But it was a great performance from Landucci's men, and I'm looking forward to seeing him coach more games, and hopefully Allegri keeps getting suspended.
Yeah, well, speaking about, I want to say great performances and suspensions, Milan Spezia. The match as a whole, I guess we'll talk about the match as a whole. Milan, obviously, if you're looking at it, Inter drop points, Atalanta drop points, you're like, okay, must win, we got to win this game. To break it down really quick, Theo Hernandez had a chance to, score a pen. He's a pretty, Theo's a great player, especially going forward, but I've always said on the podcast, I don't believe in a fullback taking a penalty. I always believe that your striker should take it, because his job is to score goals. If he can't take a penalty, then why do you have a striker? Like, I'm sorry, but that's how I've always looked at, for example, Juventus, Bonucci's a great pen taker, but I don't believe in designated pen takers. If your striker cannot score a penalty shot, sell him, because it's one of the easiest. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's something you expect a goal scorer to do.
Well, it also is a mental game.
But you need your striker to be mentally strong. When you're up for a
penalty, you want the player with the coolest head to be at that spot. Like, sometimes with the striker, they have their striker might not have a cool head, so it's better
to sell him.
Back, like Bonucci, to take it, but. At the same time, I understand what you're saying. Like, if your striker can't take a penalty, then he should really be training to take that penalty and really get a cool head for it.
If your striker can't take a penalty and then have a cool head, then get rid of him, because if he can't score goals, what the hell is the point of having him? But anyways, Theo Hernandez took the pen. It looked weird. Like, I don't know who else saw it, but like, the first angle when you're watching the game looked like it went in. Like, it hit the advertising boards pretty hard, and I thought he scored, but obviously he didn't. He went wide. Not a very good penalty at all, and obviously lost a big chance there to get a goal. And Milan just were getting unlucky. They had the crossbar, they had Ibra, they had, I don't know what the hell was going on. It was a beating, basically, at some points in the match. Like, how are they not winning? Leao could have had 14 goals. Obviously been having a great year. There's one where he danced by a defender, cut to his left, and then just wide. It looked like it went in. I believe the keeper got a foot to it, actually. And, they were just playing incredible, Milan. creating everything. Obviously, defensively, they're going to have problems when you're missing Kier for the whole year. Tomori, who got hurt again. And you got Romagnoli, probably my most hated player in the whole sport. And, you know, for obvious reasons, if you don't know why, then search it up. But Gabbia, like, if we have Gabbia starting, I'm sorry. He's not a bad player by any means, but...
He's a fullback.
Yeah, like, he should not be in there. But they don't really have a choice.
No, Gabbia, he's a center back.
He's young, though.
He's going to make a lot of mistakes.
You can't count on Gabbia, and they don't have a choice, obviously. No, like, they have a lot of guys out. Kalulu, actually, I do like him, Kalulu. He has some, you know, good things about him. I like his energy he brings to the game. I feel like he brings a big source of energy to any team. And I do like it about Kalulu. But come on, man. Like, Gabbia, Florenzi. But they don't have a choice. It's not easy for them. But going forward, attacking, they look great. They had many chances, like Roma did against Cagliari, to really put the game to bed, and they couldn't. And then the big talking point that all of Twitter is talking about, my whole timeline for the last
two or three days.
Yeah, it's, you know, no hate towards Milan fans, but at the same time, they made a joke about Roma Cagliari before the game. Oh, hopefully Roma don't cry about the referees this game. And then, you know, a day later, they were crying about the referees. So, it was terrible, though. The goal should have stood. For those of you who didn't see it, I can't remember who hit it into the top corner there. Was it Brahim Diaz? I believe it was.
I think it was Macias, I believe.
Macias? It might have been, it was Macias, yeah. And basically, I believe Rebic got fouled. And, you know, usually you play it on if you're still in possession. The referee seems like he had a brain fart. Like, I guess that can happen when you're, you know, running up and down all game and was focused, but it can't happen at the same time at this level of football.
It's human error.
It's costly. Yeah, it's a human error. And he admitted to it, you know, he put his hand up. Rebic gave him, like, a headbutt hug. And was like, come on, like, what are you doing? And, obviously went to Macias, who hammered it. Like, great shot. Like, what a goal. Milan think they're ahead, but the referee blew the whistle before the shot. And he messed up, man. The ref messed up. And that could be like Muntari back in the day. We all know what happened there. And if you look back at it at the end of the year and say, wow, Milan lost Scudetto by 2 or 3 points. And you know, they could add 2 or 3 points in this game. So it's unfortunate. But what can you do now? It's in the past. But obviously for Milan fans, the ref can say sorry. The league can say sorry. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, nothing means nothing.
The points back. Nothing. It means nothing. And it's not the first time it happened this year. The Fiorentina game a week prior, similar thing happened. Roma Juve, similar thing happened, and it's not a freak error anymore if it happened 3 times. It needs to be fixed. I think the referees need to do a better job of reading the play and not be so whistle happy, you know.
Yeah.
Don't need to whistle right there. Like it happened 2 seconds later, the ball went to Messias. It's not like the play went on for 4 or 5 seconds. Like he blew it right away. Like relax. They still have the ball. Read where the ball's going. If you see it's going towards a Spezia player, blow your whistle. If it's not, let it go. And
it's also better to like blow the whistle late than to blow the whistle early.
That's why they have VAR now. They have for example, the Zaniolo penalty. It looked like a pen, but you weren't really sure. So blow the whistle, call it a pen, and then if it's wrong, you can take it back. That's why they have VAR now. And
it's like in football too. Like a lot of times in football, the play will say like they don't know if it's a catch. They'll call it a catch, and then they'll go see it. And then they have to find a way to say, okay. But a lot of times, too, it's the rule, what they call on the field. Like, for this one, it was I believe it was a foul, and they should just play the advantage. But if he deemed it to be a red card, a fed,
then you
have to blow it. Which, in the case, this kind of happened on the Coppa Italia, where Napoli, Ruiz fouled. I believe it was a Fiorentina play. I can't remember who it was. They were on the break, and the referee pulled it back. Even though Fiorentina had the advantage, he pulled it back because it was a red card defense. So that one is a little less questionable, but this one, I feel like he should have played the advantage, and Milan could have even won this game. Like they could have won. Who knows what happened if that play stands.
It's something that needs to be fixed. It happened to Roma Juve as well. It's just they need to fix this. And, you know, if it happened for the first time, then okay, it is human error. You know, you can't, referees aren't robots, but at the same time, they need to do better and learn from their mistakes. If this happens again, then there may need to be some, I don't know, classes for these referees or something.
I feel like the classes need to start happening now.
Like I'm sure they do them. Like,
this is what, the second, third time it's happened? I feel like
it's not the first time.
They're getting too comfortable with the referees, and when they mess up, what happens? They just get a suspension for a couple of days. Big deal. They don't show up to work for a couple couple of weeks. It's not.
They gotta stop having Moji hire these referees.
Moji's not in the league anymore, Dan.
You don't know.
Who knows with that guy? But yeah, the suspensions, they don't mean anything. Romo's had 7 referees suspended. I think 30% of our games have ended up with a referee suspended. You know how bad that is? Like, I don't think any other league has had that. And that's Roma alone. That's one team. Imagine all the teams combined this year. Obviously, I can't count that, but I'm sure over 10 referees have been suspended this year in the Serie A, which is unbelievable. And this is going to be another one. So
the amount of times I complain about the referees, I think all of them are going to be suspended by the end of the year. Yeah. There was a few incidents against in the Bologna game. Lozano got stepped on. Should be a red card. No, he gave a yellow. Ruiz got pulled. No penalty. Romani got hit in the face. The guy gets a yellow card, even though Osimhen did the same thing, and Osimhen got a red card and a game suspension.
Yeah, and even Roma Kelly did studs up. I forgot who did it to Felix, but they went studs up on him. He was down for a solid 2-3 minutes bad. And he got a yellow, but that was a straight red. Like, I don't know if you saw it then, but it was studs up right to the side of his leg, and he could really hurt him there. That's a red. And a lot of things happen. These referees this year, it's probably been the worst officiated year in probably the last decade, or it's up there at least. And they have VAR now, and it somehow got worse, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I hate blaming the referee. Yeah, I hate blaming the ref, I really do. But
I do too, but at the end of the day,
can't help it.
There's a lot of times where the referees do dictate the games, and you see it at every sport, and it's just, it's like, okay, are they generally making mistakes? Because we're all humans, we make mistakes here and there. But it seems like every week
there's been something.
We've been complaining. I'm going to mainly speak for Serie A. We've been complaining about the officials, and we hear in England too, where a few times where our friends who watch the Premier League, they complain about the referees, and it's always the same guy. It seems like it's always the same guys that they that make the mistakes. And also too, I'm gonna speak on this part. Big games, such as I want to say Atalanta, say Inter Atalanta, maybe Milan Spezia is a big game. Napoli, they shouldn't have referees who don't have great Serie A experiences. They need to have referees who have that. And like, for example, like a match like Venezia and Empoli, you can afford to have a referee that may not have the best experience in Serie A, but he can ref that game. A big game shouldn't be officialed by guys who are just called up from Serie B. They gotta have the referees spread out and just have the best refs manage the big teams in these big games. Because there's a few times where, I believe it was Napoli Sampdoria, we had a referee who had 4 games in Serie A or something along those lines. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
No offense, Dan, but you just said that the refs should be refereeing the big games, and then like the teams like Venezia should be getting like the City B level refs. But Napoli Sampdoria, that's not really a big game. I wouldn't consider that a big game.
But it's like, I'm just saying, like, for example, say Napoli, say we're playing Fiorentina, a referee who gets promoted from Serie B shouldn't go ref that game.
You know I mean? Feel like that's touchy, though, because he still has the experience to referee. Like, he shouldn't be making the mistakes. Like, he's been in the class, like the other referees who maybe have more experience than him. He's been in, like, the league. Yeah, he's new to the city, and he needs to have these games under his belt in order to improve and get better. But at the same time,
it's like,
who do you want? The referee with the most experience is Orsato. And we all know Orsato's not the best referee here, but he's the one with the most experience getting the big games.
Ways. All crap in their own ways. Or else we wouldn't be having this debate right now. Like, we wouldn't be talking about Milan Spezia half the referees that do Roma games get suspended because of poor decisions. They're all crap at the end of the day.
Look, boys, you know, we don't get paid enough to come up with these solutions. The Serie A's got to do better. And, you know, if they don't want to pay us, you know, give us a call and, you know, we can fix up these referees.
Email,
but,
too. We got email.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is what it is. At the end of the day, you know. Hopefully it gets better. They got to figure out solutions here. And, yeah, I think that's enough of the referee slander. Hopefully they don't hear us because I'm going to quit their job because we went a little bit too wet on it.
If they want to quit their job because a couple of guys on a podcast are chatting shit to mistakes they made, then maybe it's for the best.
Maybe. But
they hire us to referee games.
Hey, I'll be down. Why not? I'll help Roma a lot. I'll tell you that right now. They need all the help they can get.
Don't give me a Napoli game.
Your red card in the first minute. The way it kicked off wasn't right.
You think your son is bad if I referee a Napoli game.
But yeah, moral of the story, referees have been horrendous this year. And hopefully we don't. Well, I'm sure it will at some point. But hopefully no more refereeing discussions the rest of the year. But I'm sure it will be.
Oh, yeah.
To end off, a team I really want to talk about, Fiorentina. They've looked incredible under Italiano. I believe, did you make him your coach of the year too, Francia? I can't remember. I don't mean Dan.
Yeah, I did.
I said Pirlo because he won 2 trophies being his first coach.
Yeah, but so Italiano was mean Dan's coach of the year, so obviously we're already high on him. And what he's doing at Fiorentina has been sensational, really. Like, the way they handled, and the way they handled Genoa, like, wow. And, you know, I know Genoa's not a great team, but to score 6 goals on any team is not easy, like, at all. Like, you know how tough that is.
11 goals in 2 games, that's something.
Yeah, it's insane, man. And it's not like they're getting it all from Vlahovic. Like, they're well-rounded. Biragi, that guy, with the
free kicks. He's playing like prime Roberto Carlos the last 2 games.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell got into him, but... Yeah, wow, I did not know he was that good at taking free kicks. I knew he can hit them, but I didn't think
he's
that good.
He's got a wicked shot, and he's got a wicked left foot. Oh,
yeah, definitely. And they look good. And I'm not really going to get into the game because, you know, it was a murder scene, really. But I do want to say to you guys and ask a quick question here. What do you expect from them for the remainder of the year? Do you think...
I think they'll be competitive.
You think a Europa League spot is possible?
Oh,
sure.
As of right now, yeah, I think so. I think they got maybe, I'll give them 6th place, like if at the end of the year. It all depends too now because I know Vlahovic, there's a lot of talk around teams that are wanting him. Who knows? Probably most likely not. They probably won't sell him in January, but who knows if that can get to his head and if he can, like if that's going to be a distraction for him because I know a few times players. They think about moves. They think about them leaving. And it just distracts them from what they do on the pitch. Hopefully that doesn't. And if that doesn't, then Fiorentina, I believe, will finish in the Europa League spot. But they just have a good core of players around them, too. Besides Vlahovic, Gonzalez, like I've said this a few times, he's been a good signing for them. And he could help. He will help them as well, especially... Now they got Piątek, who scored on his debut when he played against Napoli. So they got him, who in the past he was a good goal scorer too. He's gonna help them. Torreira's been very good for them, and Baragi too. If he can continue to play like this guy, like they'll be set for a Europa League spot. I feel like under Italiano they'll get that, and I think Italiano's a very good coach and a lot of. Teams now, they have to be looking at them potentially if they sack their managers because this guy could be, I believe he could be a very good coach in a couple of years.
Yeah, and I like how he's taking little steps, you know, Spezia, Fiorentina, and next we'll see what it is. But I like what he's doing there. He didn't make a big jump from maybe Spezia to Roma or Napoli right away. I think he's made the right decision there and slowly progressing. In terms of, you know, what a club has resource-wise, financially, and what he can work with. So, credit to them.
He's brought in a few good players, too. He's brought in Odiozola, who's been very steady for them. Gonzalez, Torreira. They just brought in the Ikone from
Lille. That's a great signing from Lille.
Yeah, it's a very he needs to be more consistent, but if he can play up to his potential, he's a very good player, and he's gonna hit that attacking trio all of a sudden. Now if Ikone can play up to his standards, that's a very scary attacking trio in the league too. Like, they can cause a lot of defensive trouble. They have to be careful of them. And it proved a few days ago with Fiorentina and Genoa. Like, they took advantage of Genoa playing poor. They were on the verge of, I believe they sacked Sochenko before this match.
Yeah,
and they took advantage. And Genoa too, I'm going to just top this off. They're in trouble. I just don't see any way of them not getting relegated. As of right now, I think they're one of the worst teams in Serie A, which is very shocking too, because I feel like we had a lot of us had them just barely avoiding relegation, but they've been playing
below
average. Yeah, like it's bad. Like, and I just don't see them maintaining promotion. Retaining in Serie A. I feel like they're gonna get relegated, and just it's gonna feel weird. But they did to themselves. They've been playing bad, and they haven't brought in that right guy to help them maintain.
Yeah, they've been horrendous, and that's an understatement, to be honest. I really don't like how they play, and sacking a manager, I think they sacked like 13 managers since 2017. Pretty sure.
Yeah, they haven't been giving the managers a chance to really develop the team and
also
work
too,
with them.
Their Rovella, you can argue that that's their best player. When's the team play this game?
Even Destro. Destro's look really good too.
Yeah. I like the signing they did with Uboya. I feel like he can be a good signing for them, but just the way they've been playing, I don't think he'll do much to help them. And you gotta play Rovella, man. This kid's a talent, and he's special. And I'm looking at their lineup now. He's 100 times better than the midfield they put out there.
Yeah, well, I just know he's injured right now. Like, currently.
No, he was on the. I think he was on the bench. So.
Yeah, but he is injured because Juve were supposed to call him back, and then he got an injury.
Yeah, he's been battling a couple injuries on and off, but. Yeah, I think it's over for Genoa, to be honest. They're not playing well, and it's not like they're playing well and losing. They're playing terrible and losing, so there's not much bright side, really, for them. You never know, because, you know, Venezia can start going on a drought, and Cagliari and all these teams, but I don't know. It's not looking good for them, and they'll need a big, big turnaround before they can really say that they can stay in Serie A. Any last thoughts on this topic?
I just think, you know, in terms of Fiorentina in the final race, I've always rated them highly. And I think if they could continue, they could definitely stay up there. But just looking at their season as a whole, they've been kind of hot and cold. Like, they would win one game impressive and then, like, lose the next or draw the next. It always seems that after a bad loss, they really come back, which is good. I mean, they got slaughtered by Torino 4-0, and then they just took all their anger out on Napoli and Genoa. So now we can see how the rest of the games are going to go, especially recently. But hopefully for their sake, it continues up, and it'll be an interesting rest of the season for them with Piontek back in Serie A. And like Danny said, that new signing, Ikone, who I'm really interested to see how he performs in the Serie A.
Yeah, definitely an exciting team to follow. And, you know, when you have some time, check them out. I really think... if you're a fan doesn't watch Fiorentina too often, you might be surprised by them, or you might be disappointed, depending on when you catch them. Like, they can be inconsistent, but that's normal too. The players they have, they aren't too deep, but they're deeper than the teams below them. And at the end of the day, they're not a top team, so they are going to lose some games here and there. You'd really expect them to win, but they also win games that you'd expect them to lose. So
yeah.
I think that's where the balance is for them right now and why they're hanging up at the top there. And they're still in the Coppa, which is impressive as well. But, that really wraps up all the games from this past week. We got Serie A coming up on the weekend, obviously. We'll have a international break again after this weekend. So enjoy what you can. There's a Roma-Lecce tomorrow, I believe, and I think that's the only game left of the midweek, and then we get back into the league action on the weekend. So looking forward to that. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you want to check us out, go follow us on Instagram at SixAdCalcio, as well as Twitter. We'll be back maybe Friday with an interview with a guest we've been working on getting. It seems like that interview will get over the line and we'll get it done. So hopefully we have that. If not, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Ciao.
Ciao. Okay.